Come on. Good morning. All right. I was just telling last week we had to put the air conditioner on the day before so it would be cool enough in here. Today I was tempted to put the heat on, but so that just goes to show you how quickly things change. But thank you for being in the house. Come on, wave at me, smile at me. Glad to see you this morning. God bless you. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the second chapter of the book of Acts in verse 46. That's going to be our focal text this morning. We began last week a new series entitled Doing Life Better. Say that with me. Doing Life Better. And we told you that this message was birthed out of a experience I had not too long ago as the senior chaplain for the Warren Police Department. I was doing a ride-along with one of the officers one day, and after a shift of emergencies and dealing with people and problems and issues of all variety and types, at the end of the shift, the officer dropped me off at the end of the day, and he looked at me and he said, "Chaplain, you know, I've learned something in my experience in dealing with people and life," he says, "and that's this," and he made this statement. He said, "You know, people just don't know how to do life very well." And boy, I'll tell you, that resonated with me. And it spoke to my heart because the truth is oftentimes we don't know how to do life well and do life better. And it struck me because I thought, wow, isn't that exactly what Christianity is supposed to be all about? Isn't that exactly what salvation is all about? Isn't that exactly what the Bible is for? To do life better. Salvation is God's plan to do life better. We can't do it as well on our own, but with God's help and with the plan of salvation, Jesus coming to earth, dying on a cross and raising again and inviting him into our life, by doing that, he gives us the plan and the person and the power to do life better. And then I was thinking, that's exactly what the Bible is all about. The Bible is God's blueprint, God's manual, God's directions on how to do life better. And so it birthed this short series that we're going to do over, we began last week and we're going to continue over the next couple of weeks. Last week we introduced the series and I told you each week the word better will be in our subtitle. And this morning, our subtitle this morning for our second week is Better Together. Say that with me. Better together. Now, last week we talked about for better or worse. And if you missed that, it wasn't a marriage counseling session. It wasn't, no one got married last week in the service, and it wasn't that. But if you missed last week, the CDs are available. But not only that, you can go to the website and download the podcast. It's free. You can listen to those. I believe they get them up very quickly within a day or so. Daniel does a wonderful job. Thank you for all your help with that. And you can listen to last week's message. It's already available. And then this morning will be available in just a short time. But this morning I want to focus on the idea of doing life better by talking about better together. I asked you to turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. And remember, we spent a lot of time in Acts chapter 2 and we were doing fresh church. But this one verse really stood out to me and resonated with me about the key to the success of the early church. It says, "And they continued daily with one accord." They were together. They did life together. They were on the same page, the same purpose. They had the same priorities and passions. And they did it together, notice, in the temple. And they did it from house to house with gladness and singleness of heart. Notice a key to the success of the early church, who we told you faced persecution and problems, but they lived in the power and the victory of God, because I believe one of the keys was is they did life together. Whether they were in the temple or whether they were in someone's home, they did life together, and they did it better because they were together. And so this morning, I want to focus. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks, Ken. Let's have another one on that. Let's all practice that. Come on. Amen. All right. Okay. just checking to make sure you're awake on me. Smile at me. All right. Better together. You know, I don't know about you, but how many like the Peanuts cartoons? Anybody? Well, there's a cute one that I came across where Lucy and her was having a discussion with her brother Linus, and she was pretty upset with him, and she was trying to influence him to do something. And she looked at him and she said, Linus, she said, you see these five fingers? By themselves, they're not that really important and they don't really have much influence. But you see, if I take these five fingers and I curl them up together and I make a fist, this, which was not a whole lot on its own individually, but when I put them together and I make a fist, it becomes a lethal weapon that I can get you to do anything I want. And then Linus walked away sheepishly, and then he looked down at his hand and he said, how come you guys can't get organized like that? You know what? If we would realize, if we would come together, how much more powerful we are, how much more strength we have, how better we would do life individually and corporately when we take what individually may be different and distinct, but we bring it together, we become a powerful weapon for the glory of God. Better together. Better together. Now, I want you to consider with me three things this morning. First of all, I want you to consider with me that I want to make this statement before I get to the three things. We do life better when we do life together. I want you to say that with me. Come on. We do life better when we do life together. That's really the whole premise of my heart and my burden this morning, is that we would realize how much better we are together, how much better our life will be, and how much better we will make other lives when we do it together. The first thing I want you to consider with me this morning is the power of one. The power of one. Do you realize how special, important, and significant your life is this morning? Come on, maybe you haven't stopped to think about that much, and maybe we're pretty hard on ourselves. Let's be honest. We're all pretty rough on ourselves, and oftentimes we think, what's my life in the scope of this big world? And it's like a grain of sand in the midst of an entire beach. And we think, my goodness, my life isn't really that important and that valuable. I want you to know this morning that your life, even by itself, is powerful, special, and significant. I don't want anyone to leave here today and not think that your life is not important and valuable. First to God, and then, of course, to us here as well. But I want you to understand that. You see, you have power with just your life. The power of one life can make a difference and can do life better with God's help. How many know you and God can be a majority? How many know you and God can make a difference? One life connected with God and with allowing God in their life can impact not only your own life, but other lives for good and for better. And if we could realize how special and important, matter of fact, what did the psalmist say in Psalm 139? He said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. How precious, God, are your thoughts and your plans for my life. Think about that. Each of us was individually crafted and made and fashioned in the image of God. Yes, we all have certain things in common in that we were created in the image of God. But how many know God made each of us uniquely special and uniquely different and uniquely wonderful? And he has precious and good thoughts for your life and my life. And today I want us to realize the power of our life by itself. Your life and my life is special and important and fearfully, wonderfully made. And God has something special for each of our lives. The power of one. Remember, throughout the Bible, you could see where God used individuals to accomplish his plan and to accomplish his purpose, to make a difference. Abraham, one man, became the father of nations. Remember, it was the same Abraham who stood before God and said, God, for 50 people, would you save a whole city? For 40 people, for 30 people, for 20 people, for 10. Abraham, one man, became the father of nations. Moses interceded for the entire nation, and he became a deliverer of the people. One man made a difference. Joseph. How many know Joseph, one man who got sold into slavery by his brothers, got taken off to Potiphar's house, falsely accused and thrown in prison, rose in Pharaoh's court because God was with him, because God used Joseph, one man, to save the whole world through a dream. One man. The power of one life with God's help to make a difference. Shammah, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, only a couple of verses. The Bible says an entire army of Philistines came to capture a strategic lentil field. And Shammah dug his heels in, one man, and defended the field by himself. And God wrought a great victory and sent the Philistines away because one man dared to stand in the field and say, you can't have this field. One man. The power of one. Your life, my life, by itself, with God's help, can make a great difference. And we can do life better, and we can make life better for others with one man. One of the interesting things about Gideon, remember Gideon? He was a fearful man. He was hiding behind the wine press. And God said, Gideon, I want to use you, one man, to lead the people to win a great battle. And the Bible says the angel of the Lord came to him behind the wine press, and Gideon made all kinds of excuses. I'm the least in my family. I don't know what to do. Why are you doing this? Why? And the Bible says the angel said, surely I'll be with you, and you will defeat the Midianites as one man. One man can make that kind of a difference. I love what Ezekiel tells us. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel that the Bible says, and I sought for one man among you, God looking out over his mankind and saying, I was looking for one man among you that would make up a hedge, that would stand in the gap before the land, but I couldn't find even one person. This morning I want you to know God is looking for one man, one woman. Someone will say, you know what? My life is special. My life is important. God fearfully, wonderfully made me. He made me unique, and I can only do what I do. I can't do what everybody else does, but I can do what God has called me to do. And with God's help, my life can make a difference. Come on, give the Lord praise for that. God's looking for one man, one woman this morning will say, I'll be that man. I'll stand in the gap. I'll make up a hedge. I'll take my spot on the wall. And I can't defend over there and over there, but I'm going to stand here and I'm going to be the best me with God's help. And my life's going to be better and those around me are going to be better because of one life, the power of one. Remember David? One man stood up to Goliath when an entire army was cowering in the field. One young man stood up with a sling and a stone. But how many know he wasn't alone? The Bible says, I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. How many know David with God was a majority? How many know we often read the story of David and Goliath and think it was an upset? Matter of fact, sports world uses that as a slogan. When a smaller school defeats a bigger powerhouse type school or team, they say it was a David and Goliath. It was an upset. Can I say to you, if David would have lost that day, that would have been an upset. Because David plus the Lord of hosts is a majority. You, with God's help, God's power, God's strength, God's resources, can make your life better and other lives better. How many know the power of one takes place in the prayer closet? That's where we get our power. What did Jesus say? When you pray, go into your closet. Now, that doesn't literally mean you have to go into a literal closet. Now, you can. And I love that movie. What was the name of that movie? War Room, where a woman actually gutted out a closet in her room and made it her prayer. That's wonderful. But how many of you can just have a, like me, I just have a chair. I got a recliner. I go to my chair. And I get in my chair. That's my spot by myself. And that's where I spend time with God, and I think and I pray and I sing and I focus and I ask God to work in my life. You got to have a spot. You got to have a place. And if you will realize that your life with God's help, and if you will not only invite Jesus Christ into your life, but you will begin to develop a prayer life and begin to develop a relationship with God, you and God can make a difference. You and God can do life better. And you and God can make others' lives better. Say with me, the power of one. Now consider with me the power of two or three. The power of, now listen, by ourselves, our life is special. By ourselves, our lives are important. By ourselves, with God's help, our lives can make a difference. But how many know we're even better when there's two or three? Oh, come on. How many know we weren't designed to be just on our own? What did the Bible say in Genesis 2? God looked at Adam after he made everything perfect, and he said, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. I'm going to make a helpmate for you. Now, obviously, that's talking about marriage, etc., and certainly that principle of the power of two and three matters with marriage. And let me say to you that are married, you and your spouse together are powerful. If we would realize that together we're better, and if we realize that together as we pray together and we grow together and we worship together and we connect together with God's help, there's amazing things can happen in a relationship. As a matter of fact, it's the second highest and most important relationship between our relationship with God and then secondly, our relationship with our spouse. But I want you to understand there's a bigger spiritual principle than just in marriage. Even if you're a single person by choice or circumstance or whatever it is, it doesn't matter what your status in life or your situation is. I want you to understand that you were not designed to be alone and you need other people in your life to make you better and for you to do life better. You need others in your life. We can't isolate ourselves. I want to tell you, one of the most dangerous things and one of the most destructive things in your life is when we isolate and insulate ourselves and we don't connect with others in life. The power of one. Yes, your life is special and important, but you're even better with two or three. Everybody needs a core of people in their life. A couple of people in your life. Everybody needs a couple of people in their life. I remember years ago, and this has got to be 40 years ago, I'm dating myself. I was a youth pastor at that time. And I did a thing with our teenagers one time where I gave them all $1,000 to spend, and I listed all of these things in life that they could buy, cars and houses, and obviously we just put certain dollar figures on different things in life. And one of the things on the list of all these things was one good friend. And I noticed throughout the night, as the teenagers were bidding on all these different things and buying all these things with their Monopoly money, so to speak, at the end, this one young man that I noticed in the youth group just sat quiet, didn't bid on anything. And then when it came to one good friend, he put all his money down. And I said to him afterwards, I said, can I ask you about that? He said, you know what? To me, that's the most important thing is to have one good friend. Wow. The power of two or three. Listen, by ourselves, we're special. We're wonderfully made. We can make a difference. We can do good things. But by getting a core of people around you, by getting others in your life that are on the same page spiritually, getting others in your life as a support system. How many know everybody needs a support system? And listen, everybody needs an accountability system. Oh, boy. Oh, come on. How many know it works both ways? You need other people in your life to support you, but you also need other people in your life to keep you accountable. Everybody needs two or three close to you, an inner circle, an inner core of people in your life. That's what'll help you do life better. That'll make your life better and their life better. The Bible talks about the fact that we need to, as a matter of fact, remember David? We talk about how David alone stood up to Goliath, but do you realize David also had Samuel in his life? He was his coach and mentor. David also had Jonathan in his life, his best friend. David also had Nathan, the prophet, who kept him in line and said, you know what, you're the man who messed up. David had a core of Samuel and Jonathan and Nathan in his life. He had a handful of people that he confided in, that he could trust in. He needed that in his life. Remember Paul. Paul, while he was a great missionary, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He changed the world. But how many know if it wasn't for Silas and Barnabas in his life? Come on. Silas and Barnabas was that support system. Silas and Barnabas don't get all the press. They're the other guy in the Paul equation. But you know what? Without them, Paul doesn't become Paul to the fullest level of what God had for his life. How many know even Jesus had 12? And think about it, he also had an inner circle of three. Peter, James, and John. And out of that, it says even John and him were the closest. Now, it doesn't mean Jesus had favorites. It just meant that he connected and he had a level of support and an inner circle that where he surrounded himself with those that made him better. Your life is special by itself and can make a difference and can do good things. But I'll tell you what, if you'll find an inner core, an inner circle, if you'll find people you can trust and who really have your best interest in mind, and you got to be careful about who you select into that inner. And a matter of fact, you might not even select it. God just may put those people in your life. And if we could understand that and see that, and if we will tap into that, I'll tell you what, we'll do life better when we have that support system around us. And we have that kind of a support and that kind of accountability, the power of two or three. The Bible says one can chase 1,000. That's pretty good. One life is important. The power of one is powerful. But look at what the Bible says. But two can chase 10,000. You want to do better? You want to do life better? Don't just do it on your own. Come on now. Get a core of people around you. Surround yourself with the right people and with the right accountability and the right support system, and you'll do life better. You know what Ecclesiastes says? Two is better than one. Two. I tell all the couples I counsel with and then get married, I even mention it in most of the marriage ceremonies. I tell them right in front of the witnesses that come to see them get married. The two of you, always remember, the two of you are better than one. Two of you are better than one. The Bible says, whoops, what happened? I went too far. Two are better than one because together there's a good reward. Listen, there's a good reward and there's a better reward when two people can come together in one spirit, in one heart. Maybe even differences, different personalities, different outlooks on life. Matter of fact, When my wife and I first got married, I'll never forget, we hadn't been married but 6 or 8 months. And I remember talking with my dad one day, and I said, Dad, you know what? We are just two opposites. Yes, we both love the Lord. Yes, we both have a heart for ministry. Yes, we both have important things the same. But I got to tell you, I see blue, she sees red. I say he's guilty, she says he's innocent. It just seems like we're just so different. And I'll never forget what he told me, the best piece of advice I ever got. He said, listen to me, son. If both of you are exactly the same, one of you isn't necessary. Listen, when it comes to loving the Lord, when it comes to values, when it comes to the important things, yes, you need to be on the same page. But I want to tell you something. You can be different and you can be better together because she'll see things I don't. She will come from an angle that sometimes it frustrates me that she's always right. She'll say to me, listen, be careful about that. Or she'll say to me, you know, I think, you know what, listen, we're better together. Two is better than one. There's a good reward. Listen, if one falls, the other's there to live. And listen, there's going to be a time when you're going to be down and you're going to need somebody there. And there's going to be a time when they're down and they're going to need you. You're better together. Two are better than one. And then notice this. A threefold cord is not easily broken. Two plus a third cord, and how many know that third cord can be God, obviously the Lord that brings it, but it can be also others in your life that God can build in a support system around the power of one, the power of two or three. Look at what Matthew 18:19-20 says, if two of you will agree. It doesn't say if two of you are exactly the same, if two of you see the world exactly the same, if two of you look the same, dress the same, act the same, feel the same. No. It says if two of you will get on the same page and agree on the same purpose, as touching anything, it shall be done, notice, for them. Not for one, but for them both. Two are better than one. And notice this, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. You want God to show up. You want God to show up in our midst. We want God to be revealed. That's when we come together because we're better together. And when two or three gather in my name, there he is in the midst of us. Listen, two or three are better than even one. Say the power of one. The power of two or three. See, there's the power of a core group, a small group, a group around our life. That's one of the reasons. The Acts scripture that I read in the beginning about they did life together in the temple and house to house, and why we've revamped our fall calendar to include yes, first Wednesdays where we all come together, and yes, Sundays where we all come together, and yes, there's big events during each month where we can come together. But why we design life groups? That's exactly why we did that, because we realize that in a big group like this, it's hard to do life better that way. We need to break it down into smaller groups, into core groups. And that's what life groups are all about. And that's part of the vision and ministry of what we're doing. If you look on the calendar in your bulletin, that's at the heart. There's other reasons and other factors. But at the heart of it is that we can do life better when we get ourselves connected to a group of believers, a small group. You know what? We can see each other on Sunday, but how many know, when once we go out the door, even in a room this size and this many people, how many know, it's hard to get to know somebody. It's hard to be able to go to someone and say, would you pray for me, or have the moment or the opportunity to say, you know what, this week I had something, would you mind praying with me? I can't get into the details, but I need some. And you don't have that time to break bread and spend some time and build relationships where you can find out who you connect with and who you might be able to trust and who might be part of that support system and who might be part of that accountability partner or someone in your life. Until you get to know other believers, that's what we do. And basically, that's what a life group is, taking our Wednesday night or taking our Sunday morning and breaking it into small groups of 8 to 10 or 12 people, sometimes more, sometimes a few less. But it doesn't matter, because if two or three gather, God's there. And that's why if you look on your calendar, and that's why it's important, there's all these different opportunities, no matter where you are. As a matter of fact, Last night, Mike and Danae, I think they were here, but they had to slip out for some. But last night was a life group in St. Clair Shores. It's on the second Saturday of every month. And if you're in the St. Clair Shores area, or if you know Mike and Danae, or maybe you don't and you just want to try or connect, that's where you can find other people, other Christians. Say, where do I go to find other people? Where do I go to find that two or three in my life? Where do I go to find accountability people, support people? Where do I go to build some spiritual relationships that will make my life better? You find a life group. And last night, the group, and I understand they had a wonderful time. Anybody there at the life group last night? Let me see your hand. There you see. There's a small group of people. They get together. They laugh. They pray. There's some Bible study. They have food. Sometimes it's lighter than others. It all depends on life. All depends on what's going on that week. And sometimes if you just don't need to be alone, or you just feel like you need to be around some people, or you need to learn or grow or have someone pray for, or just spend some time with other people, this is a safe and a spiritual place to do that. Now this week, or tonight, right? Stephen and Christine opening their home, that's in Shelby, that's for young adults. They're also doing an online one at the end of the month that's on the calendar. But tonight, if you're 18 to 32 and you're a young adult, boy, 18 to 32, God. I don't even think I can remember that. I don't think I was ever 18. My mother said I was 4 going on 40. But anyways, if you're in that age group, there's a place for you. There's a safe place, a spiritual place. You don't have to go to places where things you don't want to be involved with. Let me just say it that way. And hang around people doing things you shouldn't. Find some people in your life. Find some other young people. You're going to find that there's other young people who love the Lord. You're going to find there's some other young people who are serious about spiritual things. You're going to find that there's other young people who are not getting themselves in trouble and mixed up in the wrong things. Get in that life group, young people. Get there tonight. What time does that start? 7 o'clock. See Stephen or Christina on the way out. Make sure you get a part of that and find out about it. Get involved with that. And then this coming week, young families, Wednesday night, you can. Here's the beauty of young families. Where's Danielle's over here? Daniel's in the booth. They're going to open the home, which is right next door here to the church. And young families, you can bring your kids here to the church. Drop them off. It'll be a safe place. Denise and Greg have a kids ministry program for them this Wednesday night. And you can come, young, if you're a husband and wife, or you're a single mom or a single dad, or you're a parent, if you got a baby, a toddler, or a teenager, you can go to that group. And you can be around other parents. And you can talk about life being a parent. And pray together and build some relationships, get to know some people, so you can build a core of people around you. So you can find other spiritual parents or parent to where you can talk to and pray about, and you can actually talk to big people instead of just little people. And you can have a cup of coffee in an environment where it's not as churchy, but you're going to find you can build life and do life together. Then the following week, there's a life group in, another life group in Warren. There's another life group in Clinton Township. Pastor Tammy and Ralph, raise your hand over here. Our life group in Warren, that's on the third Thursday. It's on the calendar. Where's Mel and Judy's over here? Mel's at the chapel this morning, doing the chapel for the ball team. They help in their home in Clinton Township. That's on the third Friday. So you say, well, I can't make Wednesday night. You can make first Wednesday, and then maybe you can find a life group on Thursday night, Friday night. Mike and today's is on Saturday night. Now, you can't be busy every night. I mean, I know you're busy, and I'm busy too. But there's got to be one night that you could say, I'll make Sunday morning, I'll make first Wednesday, then I'm going to get in a life group on one of those days, and then there's a big event every month that you can be a part of. That's a full calendar, but you get to pick it on your terms and find it in a way that you can connect with other people. Because how many know there's the power of two or three? When we get together in these small groups, listen, the early church were in one accord in the temple, but also house to house. And that was a key to their success and their victory. Say the power of one.
Power of one.
Say the power of, two.
Power of two.
The third thing I want to talk to you and I want to close with is the power of the team. Your life by itself is special, important, can make a difference. Your life with two or three or a small group, support system and prayer team and accountability people and others in your life is even better. But how many know there's also the power of the whole team? That means the whole body. That means not just having a small group, but having a spiritual family. How many know that's what this is this morning? I made the comment Wednesday night. We had first Wednesday. What a great night we had. Thank you, Grace, and you guys in the kitchen. And Katarina picked up the food, brought in some wonderful food that night from Nona's kitchen. We had pasta together. I don't know what the numbers were, what we had in there, but the gym was full with kids, adults, all together. We were eating together, and then we tore down the tables together, and then we divided up and had our first Wednesday. It was a great night. We had a full group. And here's what was so special. I was standing, walking around, watching everybody, and I thought, isn't this great? What a great big family I have. It was so good. It was so good. Because how many know the family that comes together and eats together and prays together and learns together and will grow together? And you need, yes, you need one or two people in your life. You need a core group of people that you can trust, but you also need a spiritual family. You know, oftentimes people minimize the church and they say, I don't need church. I don't need to go to church. I can stay home and watch it on TV. And yes, that there you can do that, although I would caution you everything that you watch. No, just saying. But listen, while you can do that, how many know you miss out when we're not together? Oh, come on. Look, that's intended, fill in, and it can be a source and a support to listen to Christian radio or television and read books and do things. But listen, you miss out when we're not part of a spiritual family and part of a team. There's something powerful and even greater when we come together as a spiritual family. And to know that you got people who really care about you and you have a place that you're connected to. I got to tell you, maybe you don't feel it, but I can't wait to come and see you on Sunday. And then when I don't see you, how many know I go home and think, man, I missed them today. And then when I do see people and I go, wow, our family's back together. It's kind of like our dog, Sadie. She's nuts. I mean, she's... Although, while she's nuts, she's the only one who comes to the door and runs and jumps in my lap. Nobody else, I'm only kidding. No, but it's funny. You watch. When she's with my wife, she's great, and my wife's great with. When she's with me, she's okay. She's great with her, okay with me. But you know what? It's so funny when both of us are there, she likes to get right in the middle and wag her tail like, my family's together. The pack. And you know what? There's something powerful about that. There's something powerful about the fact that we come together on Sundays as a family. Something powerful about once a month we gather around the communion table, either on Sunday and now on our first Wednesdays. Something powerful about when we come together on first Wednesday, and maybe you can't make every Wednesday, but you can make the first one when the whole family comes. I know when I was growing up, it was funny. Whenever someone had a ball game or a concert or something and there was an empty chair at the table, my mother would always feel, I could tell that look on her face, we're not all here. The power of a team, the power of a spiritual family. It's so important. You know what the Bible says? Beloved, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. When we come together, and here's the beauty of it. The Bible says, we're one body, but we're many members. In other words, some are a hand, some are a feet, some are toes, we're all different. But you know what? We're all different, but the difference, what unites us is that the Lord and the blood of Jesus unites us as a family. We have the same blood. We have the blood of Jesus. We're connected by, he says, when we dwell together, it's like precious ointment. It's like the dew, the oil that flows down on the head and on the shoulders and all over the body. And he talks about the saturation being on the hem of the garment. Remember the woman with the issue of blood when she reached out and touched Jesus' garment? How many know the greatest anointing is when there's a saturation of unity? Amen. Notice this. There. Where's there? When people dwell in unity. There, God commands blessings. You know, we came this morning. You know, I prayed for this morning, and I pray for when we get together that there, in the midst of us, God will command blessings. You see, we miss out on blessings when we're not together. Now, look, I understand sometimes you got to work, and we go away, and life circumstances come. We miss here or there. But how many know we need to make it a priority to be in the house of God together? Because when we are, it's there that the blessings are. And if we're not there, how many know we miss a blessing? And we miss out on the blessing of being together. I love what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 5. It says that when they came together, the priests and the trumpeters and the singers, and they were as one. Now, how many know they were different instruments? They were different singers with different melodies and different ranges. How many know different people, different styles, but they made one sound in pursuing God, in praising God. And the house was filled with a cloud and the glory of the Lord. Listen, when we come together, that's where God shows up in the midst of us. And then notice in Acts chapter 2, we know the day of Pentecost. What was so powerful about the day of Pentecost? How many know the great miracle of the day of Pentecost was not the mighty rushing wind, though that is amazing. How many know the real miracle of Pentecost was not the cloven tongues that rested on their head, though that is amazing. The real miracle of the day of Pentecost was not that they all spoke in tongues, though that's incredible. But what's really the real miracle of the day of Pentecost is that 120 people were on the same page. How many know sometimes two of us can't decide which restaurant to go to? Oh, come on. Come on. So how many know it's a miracle you get 120 people, all different, to get together and pray for one purpose? How many have ever been to an orchestra concert? Let me see your hand. You know, I got to be honest, that wasn't my thing, and then I had a son who played in them. So how many know it became my thing? And my wife, it's her thing. She loves that, and sometimes you got to take one for the team. Just like she goes to the ball, just like she goes to the ball game with me to take one for the team, right? But I remember one of the first times I went to an orchestra training. Did you ever been there early enough to hear all those instruments and they're just making really bad screechings and sounds and noisy? And I'm thinking, oh, that's disgusting. And that's really bad. And this instrument over here is doing this, and this instrument over here. And then of course I asked my wife, she said, they're all tuning to one thing. All the different instruments, and they're tuning to the same thing. No. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times, what do we try to do with unity is we try to make people agree with each other. Oh, come on. If I could just get my family to get on the same page, if I could just get those Christians to all think like I think, if we could just get all these churches that have all these different theologies and all these, we could just get, listen, you know what? We shouldn't be trying to get everybody to agree. We should all be tuning to Jesus. Because if we'll all tune to the same thing, come on, that's what the orchestra, those instruments are not tuning to each other. As a matter of fact, their noises are ugly to the other ones. They don't match the other instruments. They don't connect. What they're tuning is to one thing. And when they tune to the one thing, then when they finally play that one note together, how many know it makes wonderful music? Don't try to get everybody to agree with you. Don't try to find a church where everybody's perfect or you got the same, oh, we believe in pre-trib. I know who the Antichrist. Oh, you people want to argue over all this stuff. You know what? Let's just tune to Jesus and he'll tune us together. If we'll all get our eyes on Jesus and tune to him, that's what it means to come in one accord. It means to tune to Jesus. And then how many know when we tune to Jesus, we'll then tune to each other. And we'll make beautiful sound and beautiful music. The power of the team. Unity is not uniformity. Unity is uniqueness flowing in unison. You don't have to be, you know, when you join the military, those of you who know, you go in there, you all get the same haircut. You get the same uniform, right? Everything's the same. You got to look the same, act the same, march the same, do the same thing. How many know that's not what it talks about in the body of Christ? We don't all have to be the same. You can stay unique. You can be you. The difference is that we take our uniqueness and we blend it together in unison by tuning to Jesus. That's what we have in common. That's what draws us together. That's what makes us better when we tune our lives to Jesus. Till we all come, this was Paul's prayer and challenge to the church, till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the, unto the measure or the standard of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we all come in unity when we all tune to the measure of Christ. You don't have to tune to me. You don't have to all agree with me. We don't all have to agree with each other. But how many know we all have to tune to Jesus? And when we tune to the measure or the standard of Jesus, he makes us all one in him. for the whole body fitly joined together, held together with supporting every link, grows and builds itself up, each part doing its own work. Notice that when we come together as a team and a body and a family, notice that we're stronger together, we support together, we grow together, we build together. As everybody does their part, everybody works together, we're better. Say better.
Better.
Say together.
Together.
Say the power of one.
Power.
Say the power of two or three.
Power.
The power of the team. Let's consider one another. Let's spur one another, not forsaking our assembling ourselves together. Yeah, you say, what's if I, you know, we need to be together. As some are in the habit of doing, and it's easy to get in a bad habit of not coming together. But notice this, even more so seeing the day. Listen, as bad as the world is getting, and it's going to continue to get, how many know we need each other even more?
Amen.
And we need to be together in the house of the Lord as a family more as we come together. I want to close with just this one passage. There's a story in the Old Testament about the people of God. They were under attack by the Amalekites. And the Bible says that Joshua was the captain of the army. He was the young man who was leading the men and leading them into battle. And I want you to notice what happened is that Moses went up into the mountain with Aaron and Hur. And when Joshua was fighting on the battlefield, how many know he wasn't alone? Moses, Aaron, and Hur were in the mountain praying for him. And the Bible says as long as Moses kept his arms up and he was praying and he was connecting to God and he was tuning to the Lord and he was worshiping God and touching heaven, how many know Joshua was prevailing on the battlefield? Now what happened is Moses had his arms up, but how many know you can only keep your arms up so long? His arms got heavy. That's what Aaron and Hur were there for. Aaron and Hur were there to hold his arms up. So you have Joshua on the battlefield, hands on, Moses in the mountain, hands up, and Aaron and Hur, hands under. Oh, come on. That's a recipe for victory. Hands on, hands up, hands under. How many know we all need somebody to have their hands up for us? And then somebody with their hands under them to help us. We're better together. Listen, when Moses' arms got weak and they held up, it says this, Aaron and Hur kept his hands steady. You ever feel like you're slipping? You ever feel like you're getting tired? You're getting worn out? Getting overwhelmed? You don't know if you can keep going? Listen, we're better together when there's someone to hold our arms up. Now, listen, I need, Ralph, would you come up here a second? Steve, would you come up here a second? You guys don't have any idea what we're doing here by now. I hope I do. Come on, smile at me. All right, guys, I want you to hold my arms up here. Come on. This is the picture I want you to have. I mean, it's so much easier to hold your arms up when someone's doing it for you. Try holding your arms up for a while, right? But you got somebody's arms under us. How many know this is when we're better? When there's somebody there praying for you, someone that's accountable. Yeah, listen, your life by itself is powerful. Your life is special. Your life is fearfully and wonderfully made. God has wonderful plans. You can do life good. You've got the ability to do good things, but listen, you're even better with two or three. You're better with a support system, with accountability. You're better when you get connected to other Christians in a life group or other believers that you can pray with. And you're better also when you're part of a family, a team, when you can have others around you to support you and to sing with and to pray with, to laugh with, to cry with. That's when we're better. You see, it's not a struggle for me to keep my arms up. I could do this all day. Now listen, how many know these guys, you guys tired yet? Come on, I could keep going. Call two more guys up to hold their arms up and so forth. You get the picture. Okay, guys, you can go. Thanks. I don't want to wear them out. Thanks, guys. See, we can just keep doing it. And you know what? We keep calling in more and more and more. And that's why we need each other. Because, come on, say it, we're better together. You look good. Did I tell you that already? I'm so glad you're here. I was so happy. I get up real early. I can't wait to get here because I want to see you. So when you're not here, I miss you. And if you see somebody else that maybe is not here and you miss them, let them know. Tell them we're better if you're there. We're stronger. And I know, look, you know what? Mark talked about, what, 696? What a disaster. All the way from Farmington Hills. I know we have some folks at, what, Davisburg? That's a travel, man. So, but you know what? Because of that, thank you for that effort and everybody who made it. Even if you came two blocks, let me know that was important. Because together, we're better. Never forget that your life is special and important. Please know that. Nobody leave here today feeling bad about yourself, thinking my life's no good, it's not important. Listen, you're important. You're valuable to God. You're valuable to us. You're even better if you can get key people in your life, trusted people that you can connect with. And then you're even better when you got a spiritual family. I mean, no, there isn't anything better than that. Because we're, come on, one more time, better. Stand up with me, would you? This is what we're